This is a Boardwalk Audio Podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red.
Soccer.
Big Red.
Soccer.
Way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red.
Soccer.
Big Red.
Soccer.
Pat, Joe, and Tweety are here to make some noise. We got a podcast.
With
we're basically Gully unemployed. Big Red.
Soccer.
Big Red.
Soccer.
Big Red.
Soccer.
Yeah.
Hot Huskers.
Big Red.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Pat.
I'm Joe.
Did we test levels?
No.
Cool.
Figured out how to go.
There we are. Didn't mean to call you out like first 5 seconds, but
no, he had 20 minutes to do it.
yeah, we're the Big Red Cobcast guys.
We don't hear Joe.
Well, that's because he's
over.
Get on the mic.
Get on the mic, Mike.
Still don't hear you, bro.
Mike D is a special individual.
Why don't we hear you, Joe?
I don't know.
I don't know. Take that out. You probably remember when you messed with
I didn't touch anything, bro.
How about now, Joe? Try
Mike
now.
Mike D is a special individual.
There you are.
Now talk at your normal volume. There we go. Guys, we did it.
Wow.
And live on air, baby.
People have missed that component.
Have they? I think after this,
some
they
people
got
do.
Plenty. They got plenty for a while now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not like it ever really stopped.
No.
Fair enough. Yeah. So
we're ahead of the slow signing day.
That we are.
Yeah.
Maybe one signing, maybe none.
None.
And we won't probably see him for 3 years if we do.
Oh, that Mormon? Why would you take that guy?
Oh, is he?
He's really good, but yeah. I mean, it's not like he's a 5-star either, but like
he's going on a
so
retreat?
What he would do, Tanoa Tagai.
Yeah.
Who comes from, you know, NFL bloodlines,
yeah.
is he would come to Nebraska, redshirt a year, and then go on a 2-year Mormon mission and then come back.
With eligibility.
Yeah, with 4 years of eligibility.
Now, why not take the mission, come back and redshirt?
Oh. That's probably a question for Tanoa.
Yeah, yeah. Because
he just wants to make, he just wants to see who really wants him, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, he's going to drop. He's like, I'm going on this Mormon mission. Then he signs. Gotcha. I just wanted to see who really wanted me.
Well, so do we have
that's
to like,
a dream
do
scenario.
We lose?
Do we hold his scholarship for that amount of time then?
See, that I don't know. I don't
that's
know how that works.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask too.
Yeah, a Mormon mission seems like a, I mean, there are other schools that deal with this all the time. Utah and BYU, obviously.
And also, isn't a Mormon mission just basically like a, like
no,
an orgy?
No, you're thinking of Rumspringa, which is a totally
no,
different
no,
thing.
No, no, no. Because is
it is no.
That's
it's
for
not.
The Amish.
Yes, that's no, the I Amish.
I'm pretty sure that a Mormon.
No,
what is it called again?
Mission.
A Mormon mission it's missionary with a bunch of women because they've got to figure out who's going to be in their sect. You know,
you
like they've got
to
gather
until after you're married to a
yeah.
bunch of people.
Well, you have to
you're
like
you're misinterpreting it.
No, I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
No, I think it's just basically going door to door in places
and
annoying
people. Broads.
That's Mormon porn.
No, no, no.
Mormon porn.
Is you don't get to see anything
yeah.
in it.
No, you
They're
don't hear any
bonnets.
Question. You don't hear any question mark out of me for Mormon porn like for Brazzers earlier.
Yeah.
I know Mormon porn yeah. is a
You'll
thing.
Get that joke if you watched the Facebook Live earlier.
Yeah,
if you didn't, then too
watch
bad.
It later. It won't be live then, though.
No. So, just out of curiosity, what is so you have to search like a subcategory of porn? Which one
no,
would you
I'm
guys?
I'm not going
to
get into the subcategory of porn. It's what? Husker porn. I look for Husker porn.
Why now. Is it like?
I don't.
Teens
I don't ever
or something?
Type. No, I don't type anything. I just you just go. It's like YouTube. You just go from one video to another.
You just fall down a rabbit hole. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't buy that for a second. What about you, Pat?
I don't have a specific either.
You. What about you?
Tweety's been ready
yeah,
to volunteer
well,
this information.
Whoever asks the question has
here's
always
the
got
thing.
The answer ready.
No. Well, here's the thing.
You don't even have to do any search terms. You put the first letter and then the whole thing comes in. Now, right?
No, it's just like. well, what kind of mood am I in?
Right. Yeah. Are you in a...
It's like, I don't always want pizza. Like, I love pizza, but it doesn't mean I want pizza on a Saturday
You do watch
morning,
a lot of pizza porn, right? Guys fucking pizza. A
lot of Italian pornography.
A lot of cheese, a lot of melted cheese porn.
I like accents, so I listen to a lot of foreigner porn. Like, watch it. I like feet.
All right.
We've gathered this over the years of copcasting.
We have actual... We can use this as... This is like the last... sketch of the SNL show
where
this
they just topic. list off porn.
But we're opening with
I like it. Booty porn, but I like booty porn on like
nobody cares about this.
Oh, okay.
So not some, that they are going to care about anything else we talk about, but I really feel like
some people were into the fetishes brought up like a week or two ago.
Really? What were they saying?
Just that they seemed into the conversation.
Okay, then. Okay.
Some people got as much.
Yeah. What about Rick Jansen? I just think you should always think of Rick Jansen when you go on one of these monologues.
So I don't know what his listening habits have been.
Probably good. Downtime.
Yeah.
You know, hanging out at the beach. Just looking
Rick Jansen hanging out at a beach is funny.
Really, any Nebraskan at a beach is funny.
Because I just imagine him behaving the way he behaves, but he's surrounded by...
Well,
young
think about
people
it.
In bikinis.
There's no population further from beach life than
telling
Nebraskans.
Jokes.
My favorite thing. So they've got their friends who like live out on a farm in Auburn, Nebraska, who go to Hawaii a lot, and they've decided to go with them this year. And Hawaii kind of has like a customs like you would going to a foreign country.
Sure,
but he'll just like. This buddy Joe will pack up a bunch of meat in like tinfoil and stuff in the luggage so it doesn't get caught, and then they can grill it outside together.
No way.
Yeah.
He brings raw aged beef.
He just packs up meat, ties it up tightly, tries to keep it
like,
cool.
Does he have it like, how do you keep it cool?
I don't know. People do that in Ireland, like when they come back from Ireland too, they try and sneak like blood sausage back because you can't bring that. From Ireland because it like they're the US you, put restrictions on it.
Blood you can't transfer blood from country to country. Weird.
Essentially I think that's that's what it comes out of.
Well, because there used to be they put restrictions on like agricultural stuff like when mad cow disease happened and they never really pulled it back
right.
And so yeah.
So you have so mad people, cow disease is what you're saying.
Yes. I did not I'm too scared of a human to try and pack a bunch of
let
like,
alone eat
blood
something
sausage.
Called blood sausage. I don't
I
think
love
I'm
blood
into
sausage.
It. Do you?
I will say that, yeah. Like it's just salty and it tastes good when you fry it up. Yeah.
I think I had once on an English breakfast or whatever.
Oh, I know what a sausage is made out of, so it's hard to eat them.
Yeah.
Eyeballs and hooves, baby.
Mm,
hey man. I don't care if it tastes good. If it tastes good,
man,
I'm good.
Grind up the eyeballs.
Yeah.
Not all sausages like that.
And assholes. Eyeballs, hooves, and assholes.
We all know that.
Hey man.
Hooves are for glue.
Need an asshole one of the times, right?
Yeah. Well, there's gelatin.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm assuming there's probably gelatin.
That's what gummy snacks are.
Yeah, right. I get it, but they're also they don't look like it.
speaking of gummy snacks.
Oh yeah, good transition.
Grant Wistrom is getting into the weed business,
the medical marijuana business
in Missouri.
He seems excited about
dude,
it too.
I wonder if he would work out a sponsorship deal with our podcast.
Ooh.
We've got a fair bit of Missouri listeners.
Yeah, and weed smokers.
Yeah,
yeah. We could definitely, it would be hardly a transition to have a weed.
Oh, yeah, I guess you'd have to be in Missouri, though, because you can't, like, buy it on Amazon yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah.
But if you're not scared of the cops at the border crossing the Missouri River.
There you go.
You could go state to state.
Well, they can already do that from Colorado, so.
Yeah, but they, dude.
But that's if you're in western Nebraska. What if you're in southeast Nebraska? True.
Dude.
The cops are just ready for you there?
Well, don't do it during 4th of July because they're waiting usually at the bridge for fireworks.
Well, but dude, they're waiting there for weed. So I was driving from Nebraska to Lincoln, or from California to Nebraska, and I went through Colorado, and I bought, like I'd rent, like my cartridge had died, so I stopped to Colorado to buy a little battery, you know? And as I'm leaving Colorado and I'm entering Nebraska, there's this off-ramp with a sign. And it's like, but it's not like an off ramp. It's like one of those kind of arterial roads that exits the highway or whatever. And it said, next stop closed. If you need gas, get it here, or something like that. But like more.
Right.
I drove, but then I missed it at the last second. And I was like, fuck, I need a gas. So I just kept driving. Was like, I got enough to get by for a while. They were not closed. I think that was a trick
to try to get people right away in there.
I wonder what those other gas stations think.
No, yeah. What was it? Hold on. That's not what it was.
Oh, dear.
It was something.
They were trying to divert you to a stop.
Last gas for 100 miles.
No. Actually, I think I'm getting things mixed up. I think what it was it was something like a drug test. Or like, you know, like not drug test, but like a... where they pull you over and they check your car for drugs.
Yeah.
A drug checkpoint.
A checkpoint ahead.
Sure.
And, but I didn't have any weed on me because I bought the weed on the way back. So I didn't have any weed on me. So I didn't have weed on me. So I kept driving and there was no checkpoint.
So no weed and no checkpoint. So basically you were driving. No, but
the sign said.
So this is a story about when you were driving.
The sign said checkpoint ahead.
So you would exit
to avoid the checkpoint.
So your story.
So they're just standing down there waiting for the people that are avoiding the checkpoint.
Those
are all 100% weed heads.
Got it.
That's what it was. But the confusion about the weed thing was because on the way back,
they were trying
my battery died at my parents' house, so I had to buy one in Colorado. But that was not part of the story.
Is that you were actually in Minnesota and you went to Denny's and none of this happened.
You're a horrible listener.
A horrible storyteller.
No, I'm not. They get it.
If you get it, let us know.
So Grant Wistrom.
Explain it to us. Yeah.
That interview with Sipple, it was really good. I would highly encourage reading it.
He gets into the nuts and bolts of why.
Yeah, dude. So I mentioned this on the Facebook Live, but obviously the Kelce brothers grew up in my hometown, and sometimes they would bring their teammates through, or you'd just see the Kelce brothers. But the Jansons would go to Ames, Iowa every other year for the Nebraska-Iowa State game because the Nebraska Jansons and the Chicago Jansons could meet up there, get drunk, root for Nebraska, call it good. Nice little family reunion. But at Jack Trice Stadium, you can get really close to like the players like coming onto the field. And
that's a 8,000 seat capacity there?
not too different.
Yeah.
I think it's 40.
Yeah.
But guys like Grant Wistrom, you can just see they're like crazy keyed up.
Right.
And he was talking about how like just to make himself human and be able to interact with his family, he had to have something to take the edge off. It did that so he could be a human again and back to normalcy. But also like his stomach would get so tied up in knots that it would hurt like crazy, but also then it would prevent him from being able to eat, which is terrible for recovery. And so all that together, besides the fact, you know, that it's probably healthier for dwelling pain
killers,
than what people have been taking for years and getting addicted to that way.
Yep.
But I think the most interesting thing is that like, he clearly still respects Tom Osborne, but it does kind of fly in the face of what Osborne has been preaching at the State House along with Pete Ricketts.
But I think Osborne and Pete Ricketts are of a time that no longer exists. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people are of a time that no longer exists, and they're just not acknowledging it. And there's no reason for there is absolutely, other than fear and ignorance, there is no reason for their opposition.
Well, Grant Wistrom talked to about, he's like, man, if there was lobby money behind weed that there is behind alcohol and pills, it would not be an issue.
Yeah, but also once these corporations start getting involved in the weed's going to become
it'll be a whole different
thing. It'll be in a pill. It'll be pharmacized.
But it also, not even just that. It's going to, like, the stuff you do smoke, it's going to be like cigarettes. They're going to make you want to smoke more of it.
You could never make me want to smoke more weed than I do right now.
So, like, but, you know, like, if you just smoke tobacco, it's probably not that bad. I mean, it's not good for you, but it's not like, you're not smoking all those chemicals and, like,
the stuff that is and stuff.
Well, cigarettes.
I think that's the good thing about weed is that people like to roll their own and smoke it in pipes and stuff. So it won't. Yes, they already put them out in. You can get a pack of joints.
Yeah,
you could do that already. It's still pure weed, but you're right. It's a matter of time before. Now in Holland, you used to roll. You'd get your tobacco and you'd roll your hash into the tobacco in a Dutch joint.
Right.
So it's a mixed joint. You might get some of that. Happening more like, oh, Marlboro with hash.
Weird.
That'll happen. I mean, you know, all those companies are into that stuff.
Well, Grant did say that he agreed with Osborne in the sense, he's like, I think he was trying to figure out the justification of why Osborne thinks the way he does. He was saying, I think he just wants to keep it out of the hands of young kids and just kind of make sure that part is policed. And he's like, I agree, which is also why I'm doing the business, because I want to make sure. He's like, it's going to happen in my town. I want to make sure I can control it.
He can have the control of it. Exactly. One of my objections, and I talk about this in the Weed Podcast, is of the packaging that this stuff is in, which is like, it looks like kids' candy. Now, it's less and less like that.
Well, they'll make that illegal, just like they made Joe Camel illegal.
Right, exactly. But until they do, like, it's a shame that the default is to package stuff in that way until they tell you not to.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's just a general thing.
You know who likes candy besides kids?
Stoners.
Me.
Stoners.
Everybody.
Stoners.
Who doesn't like candy?
I keep a bag of gummy worms in my house at all times.
Right, and it, you know, and so, like,
it fits the profile, but there's no reason for it to be that, especially if you're talking about the medicinal factor of it. When you package it like gum,
it's not a corporation's job to babysit your kids.
It's not, but if you're, but there's no need to package medicine like candy. If you're justifying it in the medicinal way, call it medicine, put it in the green little tins and make it a medicine.
If you're calling it
medicine. Which is what he's doing.
Right.
Oh,
and so that's,
okay.
that's what I'm saying, it's a medicinal business.
But if you're...
Because in that state...
If it's for recreational, I don't give a fuck if there's teddy bears on it or not.
Well, Illinois went recreational and the lines were like 6 hours.
That's how it, of course.
Ridiculous. Because there's not enough stores. It's hard because they don't have enough stores.
Nobody's going to wait 6 hours in line for weed. The only reason they can do that, people without jobs and they can't afford weed.
Well, I point to the lines for Jordan 11s.
Yep.
Those lines are long too.
But that's not the same person going there all the time. That's a one day little mini.
But for a lot of people, that's what the weed thing is too.
Yeah, but then it's not. But like I'm saying, like
think about people.
It'll
from
die
like,
down after the first day.
That's what I said. He said it didn't.
It didn't. In, well, because
oh, it doesn't.
And I was like, that's hard to believe because it's the same people buying weed.
No, but in a city of Chicago, of, you know, 3+ million people plus tourists from other states, you're going to have lines like that until you have. In California, you don't have lines like that because there's a place,
dude.
Also, because it's been
corner decades. Yes. You know what would be cool? A weed truck, like instead of a food truck.
My God. Well, they have delivery stuff, but where you're just there.
It's just like an ice cream truck, but it sells like pre-rolled joints and blunts. And like, that's it. Like three of each. You want a joint? You want a blunt? $5, $10.
Unfortunately, this is the one thing.
Does it play like little
Bob Marley?
I was just going to say, little diggling versions of Bob Marley.
There's nowhere to smoke weed in a lot of these states. When I was up in Seattle, I bought a joint and we were walking.
I was afraid this might become a weed podcast this week.
Well, true. But we can talk about it in terms of Grant and athletes and the recovery. You're right. He's coming at it from a great place. Because he has the experience.
It was real interesting, the timeline, too, because he said it was like a few years into his NFL career that he figured this out.
Yes, because other players were doing it, and all these guys come in who you know, these very religious Midwestern or Southern guys who had no access to marijuana and didn't know what it was at all. And then maybe there's some guy who smoked it his whole life who's from a different kind of life, than the one person. And then they start to figure out, oh, this guy who smokes weed is not some thug or whatever I may have thought before. He's a guy who is actually ahead of me on figuring this out. And it loses the stigma of all the that people think.
I'm curious how he avoided the wrath of the drug test for 6 years, basically.
They test you for 1 month in the NFL. That's why if you get busted, you're kind of an idiot. They test you like between August, or there's a 3 month period between August. It's in the off season. Ephraim was telling me this. So maybe April, May, and June. Something like that. 3 months where you are, you could be tested. That's their testing period. So if you don't smoke,
and that's the time you don't need it.
And that's when you don't need it as much. And I think
But also you would have to stop. If it's April, you've got to stop smoking in
middle of March, and then Golden Seal or something.
No.
You can get it out with Golden Seal easily.
No.
Yes, you can.
No.
Yes.
Because it stores in your fat cells.
They're not testing fat cells.
Do you think they are? Your fat, gets released into your bloodstream, into your urine.
So do you think by February 2nd? Because that's the Super Bowl.
I would say February would be a safer bet. I'd quit by.
You're exactly right. I think
it also depends on the person. Like someone like Pat is going to probably burn through it way faster than someone like you. You got a lot more fat to store a lot more weed.
I do. Well, the line.
So basically, what you're saying is wide receivers have a better chance of getting rid of it than offensive
linemen.
If I was offensive linemen, might be the ones needing it because of all the collisions and everything.
They might be getting off by February for sure.
Well, and here's the other thing: for some of these guys, the medicinal quality is to deal with the head injuries and the traumas of that. So that's a whole nother level. But as far as I know, the testing period is very short, almost as a little wink nod from the NFL, like stay clean in your off season, and while you're getting the shit kicked out of you in the season, you can still do it.
Yeah.
And maybe it's kind of like an IQ test where it's like, if you get busted for this, you're an idiot.
So the Josh Gordons and Randy Gregorys of the world.
But again, you don't know far is the medicine.
Well, Randy Gregory clearly he's either one of two things. Either he's a fucking idiot or he doesn't care.
Well, he could be both.
He could be both.
Or he could have a genuine problem where he needs it for something or could use another medicine that he doesn't have access to.
Well,
we don't quite
Randy
know.
Gregory's, but I just
also you get tested more once you're dinged once.
Yes, and for alcohol and stuff too. Like Josh Gordon's second fail was on an alcohol thing, which is ridiculous.
You can't have alcohol.
If you fail the weed test, you could drink alcohol the whole time if you never fail the weed test.
That's crazy.
Exactly.
Well, that's got to be a self-report thing, I would assume.
No, it's draconian. They test you every so often if you're in the system.
But like you. Like your body gets rid of alcohol so quickly.
If it was the night before your test.
God. That's insane.
Yeah. It is. It's evil.
What if he drank mouthwash?
Well, that's a whole nother issue.
Maybe that's what loosened up his stomach.
Drinking mouthwash does not loosen up your stomach.
Well, maybe not yours.
I don't think many's.
See, maybe the whole problem is he ate a whole package of poppy seed bagels.
Since and they blew an alcohol test?
No, it wasn't alcohol. Maybe it was like they got
an opiate?
Yeah. I don't know. He seems really excited about it, Grant does. And we were talking earlier, we got to get him in for like one of those ESPN car wash kind of things where
I have a weed podcast. We have a Husker podcast.
Tweety has the CrossFit podcast. We'll just like Grant. Let's do three
or just do
interviews
one podcast and triple cast it. He only has to do one interview. We do each topic, and you put it out on all three.
That's funny.
I've done that before.
But I also want to talk to Melissa Wistrom.
Yeah.
Well, that's your thing.
Well, she's in on the business with
too.
Him.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You know what? And I think the thing, too, that's like, dude's like a crazy family man. Like,
absolutely.
Really good. That kind of like changes perspective there a little bit too.
Yes, people, there have been a lot of athletes who have started these businesses. Jim Belushi started one of these businesses. But again, to the point, like Grant Wistrom is of a different type of person, you would say. I'm struggling for words anyway.
But so. I think it's really interesting in like the context of, so hearing him talk about how he had to come down from that sort of intensity, that sort of like high end, like insane stupor.
And a case of beer wasn't enough.
Yeah. To hear that.
But I made it worse.
Yeah, sure. Yes,
sure.
But to hear that in like context, in the context of like what the NFL and football has dealt with in terms of domestic violence, and to see that he's like a really good husband and family man, and that that has been there to take the edge off of what football brings to him. I think that illustrates its value more than anything.
Yes. And he's not a guy. He's a guy who has his life in order.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and he's telling you that weed has helped him stay that way.
This is essentially the third business that he's now like simultaneously owning.
Right.
Because he has the CrossFit gym, he does real estate, and he does this.
Right. And this is one, I mean, obviously real estate you can believe in, but but CrossFit is something he's really into and believes in.
But this
and
is
this
one,
is something that he's really into and believes in.
He said this more than anything, like... Even more than the CrossFit gym.
That Grant Wistrom was a pothead.
I think a lot of NFL linemen are.
Pretty chill when he talks to us.
And he lived in L.A.
He did?
Didn't he?
No, he was with the St. Louis Rams. And then he was in Seattle.
He was never with the L.A. Rams? They were never here with him?
No.
Oh, I guess they only moved like 4 years ago?
Not even.
Three years ago?
I never got a Sue jersey as a Ram.
Bet you could find one on clearance real easily.
I'll tell you, Sue... was a missing element of that defense because
for
Aaron
the Rams this year?
Yeah. Aaron Donald did not get triple teamed when Sue was there.
No.
He still got double teamed, but you couldn't triple team him. And Donald with a double team is tough to beat.
Yeah.
You can so Sue would get double teamed occasionally, and then, you know, either of those guys might beat a double team. This year, they didn't have that at all, and it really hurt their defense.
I agree.
And Tampa's defense was a little better. Not much, but that's a
Levante
sleeper.
David finally got honored this
year.
Yes,
that's a Super Bowl sleeper team next year, by the way, if they get Tom Brady.
I want Sue to get a bowl.
I want Levante David to get something.
I like Levante David too, but Sue's my favorite. I think he's my favorite Husker of all time, but it's really hard to beat Christian Peter.
I like Tweety Gosh. That was unexpectedly folksy.
Was it? I mean, yeah. I'm fairly folksy.
You said gosh?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's the Grant Wistrom story. Look up more. You can read the interview for more info on that.
Yeah.
But we're all big fans of the move for various different reasons. Pat, for genuine moral reasons, and Tweety and I, because we love the weed.
Yeah, weed's good.
You're gonna fly to Missouri, hang out with Grant.
Yeah,
I would go hang out with Grant for those purposes.
That
would be fun
at his grow facility. Dude, but he's not growing yet. I think it's
Pat's not allowed to get high for the first time with
Grant Wistrom.
With Grant Wistrom,
why not?
Because Pat would freak out in front of Grant Wistrom.
I don't think the weed would have anything to do with the freak out. That would happen anyway.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine someone that's in their own head as much as Pat on high in front of one of his idols?
I think it depends on what the weed is. If he's got a good indica, Pat's probably like just lying on the couch,
no,
not knowing what's going on.
No, he's going, this is why you did this. You wanted to make me look stupid. I know what you did.
That's your experience with him. I'm like a shaman when people get high with me.
To be fair, I talk to you that way kind of just in general.
My goal has never been to make anybody look stupid. They do it themselves, and I just put a flashlight on it.
No, I know. I'm an idiot.
My nephew has
pink
eye.
I'm not denying this.
Should I let him come over to my house for the Super Bowl?
What?
My nephew has pink eye. Should I let him?
No.
No, the other one.
Vinny?
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, I think no too, right?
Strong disagree.
Okay, good.
That's super stupid.
Yeah, good.
Because then...
super stupid.
You'd get pink eye.
Yeah, I don't want it.
Because you're always putting your eye in your things.
And I don't want my kid to be sick for school.
Did Mike propose this?
Well, no, they were going to come over, and then Mike just said, Vinny has pink eye. Do you still want us to come over? I think that's a no.
Yeah. Tell him no, you stupid kid.
To Vinny? Yeah.
Like, call him up directly.
And I'll say, you're not Spider-Man. Spider-Man's eyes aren't pink. And then he'll try to gouge his eyes out, probably.
Oh, God.
Is he like a huge Spider-Man fan?
Oh, yeah. For about 6 months, every time I saw him, he'd be like, you know my name? I'm Spider-Man. That's what he would just say. He'd look at you real seriously and go, "You know my name? I'm Spider-Man." So serious.
He sounds drunk the way you're way you're conveying him.
One of the best sketch shows I ever directed, one of the scenes was a guy trying to be Peter Parker telling people he's Spider-Man, but he was drunk, so no one believed him. He's like, "I'm Spider-Man, man." They're like, "Okay, Peter, okay." Good times. Anyway, we lost Jalen Bradley this week.
I would say lost.
Well, I mean,
I hope
he's gonna play wherever he plays.
It sounds like South Dakota State.
And then we play them.
Yeah. The only thing we need is, Chenander, do not give up 100 to 200 yards to Jalen Bradley.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, wouldn't that be crazy if we
lost to them?
No. If we just beat the shit out of Jalen Bradley, because that's what will happen.
Well, there are two scenarios like that this year. If for whatever reason we can't score points on Bob Diaco and then also give up a bunch of yards to Jalen Bradley, Chenander's, Lincoln will burn to the ground.
Yeah, Chenander's.
We got a couple of missions on top of just the regular season.
You had to pick one, either give up 100 yards to Jalen Bradley or give up 400 yards to Bob Diaco.
Well, no, against Bob Diaco, it would be us not scoring points against Bob Diaco.
Oh, yeah. So
I'd rather defeat Diaco.
That's a league game.
If Bradley has a good game and we win, good for Bradley. He's getting his playing time.
Yeah. If Bob Diaco stuffs us, we're probably not winning that game.
For example,
if we put up less than 400 yards on Bob Diaco, if we put up less than 300 yards on Bob Diaco, or Jalen Bradley puts up 200 yards,
I still would rather.
And we lose.
Because I root
for lose to South Dakota State?
Well, I don't want to lose.
Ooh, that's.
But because of Jalen Bradley's efforts.
Oh.
We lose to South Dakota State because of Jalen Bradley's efforts, or.
So you're saying we
put up 300 yards to Bobby against Bobby Diaco.
Do we win or lose?
And we lose.
Well,
so here's the thing about Jalen Bradley going for 200 and South Dakota State beating us. It makes the offense and the defense look bad for Nebraska because Chenander suddenly, you know, a guy who we just discarded is giving up a shit ton of points to him. And also the offense couldn't do shit
against
with Jalen Bradley. But South Dakota State can do something with him. That would look really, really. And you lose to an FCS team, even if it's a really, really good FCS team. That looks bad.
But I would say for the season, I'm rooting for Jalen Bradley more than I'm rooting for Bob Diaco outside of any Nebraska results.
Also, if we, I know a lot of people would probably disagree because you never want to lose to an FCS team. But if we start off the season with a win against Purdue and then lose to South Dakota State, at least that's a league win. And we, that's a terrible 50-50 scenario there.
Why are we considering these scenarios?
Because it's fucking February,
and also that's true. Like we've won 13 games in the last 3 years.
Man, that's tough.
You know, we're averaging 4.33333 wins per season the last 3 years.
We usually average that for the first five games.
Yeah, I kind of miss.
Where are you going?
I'm gonna piss.
I kind of miss having four non-conference games because you can really build up your record pretty easily that way.
Yes. Can the SEC do that?
Yeah. And they have one usually late in the year that's against an FCS team.
Yeah.
And
that's
on top
recovery
of that,
week.
Our FCS team that we're playing is like a national contender.
Yeah.
They play
bottom feeders of the FCS.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the year that we play in Dublin, which is
2 years.
Yeah, not this coming year, but the following year.
See, that's where you want McCaffrey starting at quarterback.
We play late year against Southeast Louisiana. That's some SEC shit there. But we also have a lot of road games, I feel like.
And we traveled to Ireland. That takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, we got to do a bye week immediately after that.
Absolutely. And those guys, you know, the ones who are 21 and over are going to be drinking whiskey. Actually, 18 and over, right? That's the age.
I believe so.
Oh,
they're going to manage that team so hard. Also,
I just stay for one day. Stay for one day after the game. Let the guys have a good party after.
Yeah. Well, these guys can't go sneaking out of the hotel because you can't leave without your passport.
Oh.
You get in trouble, you're really fucked.
Yes. So they just collect all the passports.
Yeah.
I think when I worked on a cruise ship, they did that. You turn in your passport and it's like, oh, God. All right. Because these guys got your passport. So they could just leave me on some island and I'm done. That's what they did to one guy. Guy from the Philippines let his room on fire. We got to the first island and they dropped him off and said, see you later, dude.
Did they give him his passport?
Yeah, they gave him his everything that he had left and that was it.
How do you light a room on fire?
He had a candle in his room on a stupid ship. This is the first day I was on the ship. This was 3 hours after they gave us the warning where they said the worst thing that can happen is a code red, which is a fire on a ship. And then like we're 11 o'clock, 1 in the morning, code red. Like the first night I'm on a ship. And then they had a huge fire. The room burned apart. Like the whole room was totally charred. And
Why didn't they just get a bucket?
Fire's the worst thing on a boat. It was a big fire. Big fire. They put it out.
I'm assuming ocean water?
No, extinguishers.
Regular water, probably.
But on a boat,
they got that too.
Why would they bring water?
No, they just pump that. If they had to pump water.
Like where you're standing.
Yeah.
And then where the water is, it's several feet down.
Yeah, so you put a vacuum down the middle of the boat.
A boat the size of this thing. This had like 6,000 passengers on it. So 3,000 passengers. Point being, don't burn a boat.
6,000 passengers could all pee on the fire.
Yeah.
They could. Well, here's the thing.
If you worked
on the ship, they could drug test you. They could alcohol test you if you were an employee of the ship because you had to be ready to be, if you were on the fire crew, you had to be like on call. So they would, not us. We were not.
They did not value you with anything important.
No.
Well, he was an improviser.
Right. But all the people who they made do all the stuff and serve, like,
he could make
dinner,
up helping.
Yeah. I could do, I could put out fake fires.
It would be very funny if all the improvisers would have gone down with like fake fire extinguishers and just did a bit where they were pretending.
Well, it was near some of the rooms. It was near some of the improvisers' rooms. Molly's room was near where it was. Mine was not.
Was this before you were married?
No, I was married. This
to
was
her?
No. Oh. We were both married to different people at the time. I was actually maybe freshly
divorced.
Did you
guys start flirting on that boat?
No.
Did you guys like...
No. Because she was my boss on the boat, so there was some tension there.
Did you...
So
it was the precursor to
and
it,
I
though.
Took. Yes, I took over the week she was gone, and I got us all backpacks, which she said we couldn't get, and I was like, I got us backpacks. Who's great now? And she was like, who wants a backpack? And the rest is history, guys. We had another thing we were going to talk about. We had a list of things.
Did we?
Wistrom. Bradley.
What?
Omar Manning.
What about him?
I don't know. I'm just listing things that could possibly have been on your list.
The late signing day.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to that. Isn't it amazing how it went from being a huge deal to... There'll be a few schools that bring a few guys in, but most schools are bringing in none or one.
Well, USC had such a shitty early signing day
that they're
just collecting
anybody. They're collecting anyone who's still around.
That's what happens when you have a lame duck coach for 3 straight years.
And I think a lot of the guys who are left out there, I'm sure there are some great blue chippers, but I think there's probably question marks with a lot of these guys too.
Like Zach Evans.
Yes. That would be crazy if we got Zach Evans, like, out of the blue. Just out of the blue, like he just picks
everyone
it.
Who brought him to campus is like, nah, he's not worth the risk. Like, hey man, you haven't visited, but you want to come?
Yeah.
It'd
be
like
we
Jordan
like
Stevenson.
High risk.
Yes. Yeah.
It'd be like Jordan Stevenson,
exactly,
which did not work.
At all. Where is he now?
Jail, prison.
No.
Yeah.
Is he really?
Jail, prison?
Jail, prison.
That's like worse than one of the others.
Yeah.
It's a jail prison.
I know
it's
he
a jail inside a prison.
He didn't end up doing anything else.
D1?
Like, yeah. Like, I think he went to a JUCO and didn't do anything after that. I think he ended up at 2 JUCOs, actually. It's not a good thing.
No, it's a tough run. Running backs seem to be the ones who are real flighty in that way.
Oh, I don't know.
They all are?
They're people that are drawn to a violent game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Like, that's the thing. Everybody's always like surprised. Like, it must be the CTEs why all these people went absolutely bonkers. And it's like, also
probably a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Yeah. You're already predispositioned.
Right. You're already predispositioned. So CTE probably isn't great, but you tend to like violence.
Well, Aaron Hernandez, I think, is a good example of what happens when the combination of a violent person and a violent game that makes that person more violent combined.
And then also like, he's has like this constant need to like prove himself.
Yeah. I mean, there's, yeah.
And he gets hooked up with murderers.
Yeah. That's just like a
bad recipe for life.
Yeah, it really is.
I would say it's probably not the healthiest thing.
But I don't think that if you took the CTA away from Aaron Hernandez, he's probably going to be...
The CTE?
The CTE. Because
the Chicago Transit Authority is has nothing to do with that case.
Yeah, sorry, CTE. man, I wish I would have used the CTA better when I lived in Chicago. Yeah,
it's great.
I was young, I didn't understand it.
You should have used it more. Yeah. So let's talk about the Super Bowl for a second. Although,
by
the
time it'll be over. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, I forgot about that as
I was
saying.
It'll be over by the time it's released.
Well, let's do our picks now. For the Super Bowl? Yeah. Just to see, and people will know after.
People will get the...
The after.
Okay.
This is being recorded before. I want the Chiefs to win, so that's why I think the Niners will win.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring, close Chiefs win, but I think it'll be a slow start because that San Francisco defense is really good. But I think San Francisco can run the ball on Kansas City's defense. I like Andy Reid. Yeah. I'd be into seeing that. But I don't really care.
Yeah, you're wearing a Vikings shirt.
Yeah, I just always root for a good game because I've never seen the Vikings in the Super Bowl. They've lost four, but not while I've been around. No.
And honestly, the first years that you were watching Super Bowls – were the first 20 years you watched Super Bowls were crap.
So many bad ones.
The
first one that I really remember was actually really good. That was the Bills-Giants one.
That's the only good Super Bowl in a 10-year run there.
The Giants beat the shit out of the Bills?
No, that was the Bills' one. First
Norwood
Super
missed
Bowl.
It.
Yeah, they missed a field goal at the end to win. The Bills were actually favored. That was the only Super Bowl of the four that the Bills played that they were favored. So they barely lost to the Giants. Then they got housed by Washington. Then they got housed two straight years by Dallas.
And Dave Meggett played for the Giants, right?
He did.
Didn't Dave Meggett didn't he have like a big run in that game?
Maybe a kick return or something.
Otis Anderson was their big time running
back. I used to love Meggett though because he was like 5'7" and he was a little kick returner.
He was fun to watch.
He was kind of ahead of his. He was one of these. He would have been a Duck R.
He's like a Dante Hall type.
Yes, yes.
Who was also a little bit ahead of his time.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the only good Super Bowl. There's like five or six on either side of that were blowouts.
The Cowboys-Steelers one mid-90s ended up being pretty decent.
Is that the one where O'Donnell threw two wide open interceptions because he was throwing the game?
It was the only one that he was in.
Yeah, that was an awful... It was a closer game, but those interceptions...
It became close. It looked like Dallas was ready to run away with it.
Yep, yep.
But yeah, then it wasn't until like this century that we started to see more like
Patriots
good quality Super Bowls.
The Patriots run has actually produced some good Super Bowls in that, you know, the ones that they lose have been good and exciting. It's kind of like the Yankees where the World Series when the Yankees lost in the 50s and 60s, those were the great World Series.
You remember those?
I actually watched Don Larson's perfect game on MLB, and I called my dad, so we're watching the game together. That was a really good game.
I miss, like, the ESPN Classic element.
Yeah.
Because, like, on Super Bowl Sundays, they used to play all the Super Bowl NFL films things chronologically, like the half-hour NFL films
now
versions of it.
There's too many of them.
Yeah, there's. I mean, it would be a multiple
just do
weekend
the good
thing.
Ones. Just do the good Super Bowls.
Ah, no.
Now it's all
do
Puppy
a whole
Bowl
weekend
stuff.
Thing. Yeah, but I also miss like being able to tune in and watch like the game of the century, Nebraska and Oklahoma. Like that's
classic.
I mean,
sports.
Can sometimes see that like on ESPNU or like the Big Ten Network. They'll do things like that. But man, I enjoy watching those old games. That's why I enjoy our bonus episodes.
Tweety, you're betting heavily on the Puppy Bowl, right?
I wish. I don't have cable.
Oh,
are you going to be able to watch a game tonight?
Probably not.
I mean, it's on Fox.
Is it on Fox?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the Puppy Bowl's not on Fox, so.
Oh, that's right. The Puppy Bowl's on the internet. I want Mahomes to win. I like him.
Yeah.
All right. I like his voice.
He's
I just cracked my jaw.
That's what you get. This is what you get for mocking an athlete, you fucking idiot.
You see him and you think, that guy's probably pretty cool. And then he's got like this sort of like country boy Texan accent. And you're like, he sounds like a redneck.
He sounds like Ed Ogeron after an elocution class.
Well, I can learn to speak words better than I used to.
Here's Ed Ogeron before.
Go Tiger.
He's the one character from The Waterboy.
Yes, based on him.
And Adam Sandler's mom?
Yes. No, the one guy in the overalls who's like, you got him.
That's based on Ed Ogeron.
No, Kathy Bates was based on Ed Ogeron. This was completely accidental that he ended up on the other guy. Kathy Bates, the person.
She based her life on Ed. What do you got, Tweety?
I don't have anything, man.
Why is your mic so high up?
Because.
There you go.
Why don't you fucking mind your own business?
Well, I just want everyone to hear you. Why don't you take us out with something?
Like what?
That's basketball?
Yeah. Oh, that's what I wanted to say.
Okay.
Nebraska was one of very few programs in the country that had three money-making sports
teams. That is one of the things you wanted to bring up.
The football, obviously, their basketball because of the fan support, and their volleyball team made money. That's not often that happens.
That a women's sport turns a profit? No. Yeah. But that is like a consistent, like, great show. Like, obviously, there's a lot of crossover. Like, people who like Nebraska and like successful programs, they're all going to come to watch volleyball. But it's also a little bit of a different crowd, too.
Sure.
Like, people who maybe wouldn't be into other Husker sports, but are really, really, really into volleyball.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good
for them. It's another state pride sport.
And if baseball ever gets good again, too, like, that's been a sport that's turned a profit before, and that's really rare that a baseball...
How is the bowling team not turning a profit?
just too small a stadium.
And those lane fees.
Oh, man.
The lane fees will get you every time. Lane fees.
Right.
Lane fees.
Right, lane fees. Bowling.
That's what you pay. You pay lane for the lane. Kiffin. It's a fee. Monty Kiffin.
Are we just playing that?
Yeah, we're doing a word association now. Because you're right. It is the middle of February. Shit ain't happening right now.
All I want, speaking of Nebraska ball, everyone be patient. Shit's about to be good.
Yeah, and every game they have a few runs where it's like, and it's just not, they're just not completed. They're not a finished product.
And Cam Mack didn't play much yesterday because he showed up late to a film session.
Oh, come on now.
The effort was probably the worst.
Good, I like that.
Yeah. Not showing up to a film session?
No, that, what's
that
his name?
That they sat him.
That they sat him.
Yeah.
The star player.
He was only a few minutes late, too.
Well, but that's Coughlin time.
Yeah. No, I agree, too. Like, I think that level of accountability is real, real good for
especially
this year.
When you're taking all these players in who had not experienced the culture, you got to make it.
Like, take your lumps this year. Set the tone for next year.
Okay, so let's ask this. How do you think it affects the football team if Scott Frost sits Maurice Washington the first time he shows up with a Chipotle bag?
I think it's a big difference.
Yeah.
I think it's a giant difference. I think he was too scared of
losing
Mo.
Yeah.
I think he was afraid that Mo would check out and it would be bad for all parties. Bad for the team, bad for Mo, because Mo basically then just goes AWOL. I think he operated with a lot of fear.
It was a calculated risk and it failed. It was, well, which is going to be the path of least resistance may have been a way he was thinking of it. Like, all right, if I discipline here, then he's going to raise the stakes and now we're into a big thing, as opposed to maybe I just let this slide. Now that ends up not, you know, then that person takes advantage again. And that's the lesson you learn there, is that, you know, it's like parenting. As long as you let that person get away with it, they're going to keep getting away with it.
Yeah.
And the longer you wait to stop them, the more entitled they are because you let them get away with it for so long.
Yeah.
Doesn't Joe kind of look like your lesbian aunt?
I've looked like that.
You know,
when my hair gets puffy.
Yeah.
If you like have a wig for sketch comedy that's supposed to be like the salt and pepper wig. It looks like you're wearing that. It looks like fake hair.
It didn't used to be a salt and pepper, but it didn't like always look like your aunt's wig. It didn't always look like a bad perm in like the morning.
Like you can't get the wig to like lie down.
Yes, that's my hair.
Joe is like if your lesbian aunt and Larry David had a kid.
No, I think you're describing Mike.
Yeah.
No, without the lesbian aunt.
We sure?
Maybe that'd be if Larry aunts. David and a homeless guy from New York Mike, had a
Mike
kid.
Mike has more of Larry David's hairline in that combination.
But you definitely both are.
Yeah, we're
heavy
both the combination of those two, and we just have different parts of that.
No,
combo.
You look more feminine than Mike
All right,
does.
Let's go.
Mike looks
are
like.
Are we
a,
sure?
Yeah, Mike
are
looks.
Are we sure?
Mike, hey, no one said that Pat looked more or less feminine.
Pat today looks like the guy from the National Lampoon who was in the Terry. I forget Terry. He was one of the National Lampoon writers who was in Animal House as the guy leading the parade into the wall. He's just one of the guys in the house.
Pat looks like the guy from Campus Crusade for Christ that offers to walk all the girls to their car.
Oh, shit.
And then walks them to the car and then tries to, like, take advantage of the situation.
Oh, no.
That's but then it. Gets beat up.
Yeah. Or just, like, they say no and they laugh at you.
I forget his name. Terry something. He was the one of the two guys, founders of the National Lampoon. I think he ended up killing himself in Hawaii.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Who did?
This guy I'm talking about. But he was in all the movies in little small parts, and Pat looks like his character in Animal House, which was just like a college kid who was an
idiot. He kind of looks like Michael Anthony Hall.
Uh-huh, sure.
I'm all right with that.
Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
I can live with that.
All right.
A 36-year-old looking like an ageless 80s star. I'm all right with it, guys.
He's filled out, Michael Anthony Hall. Now, he's a big, you know, he like plays police chiefs and stuff.
Yeah. Big, fat police chiefs, just like Pat.
All right. Next week, we need to have some real content.
Well, I think we had real content.
We don't make the content. We just report the facts
Maybe
about the content.
Maybe it's time we start calling in some like fire alarms or something to the just have something to talk about.
Yeah.
That would be a great breaking news story.
When does spring ball start? March?
Probably.
Yeah.
And then
I should know that.
The dark period.
Well, yeah. Well,
no
I has, guess the next interesting
no
thing
July,
is
June through June.
We got a couple
July.
Of these dark periods, but yeah, hopefully there might be a little bit of roster movement or things to report on with something like that. Who knows?
Yeah, January, March, June, and July.
Guys, we're really selling this podcast.
Yeah, we are.
Why people should be listening the next few weeks.
Well, because in the next few weeks, me and Joe are going to do like this really cool.
Why was it first you and Pat and then it was me and you?
Well, because Pat does nothing cool.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, maybe
I am
we'll
nothing
have some,
but cool.
We'll have some games. Maybe we can record ourselves throwing tennis balls at one another in the yard.
Yeah, we could. We could throw tennis balls at each other's nuts.
I think a recording of that, like one person's, like, I don't know if you could set it up.
I don't
but
think
the thrower has
audio.
The mic.
No,
and
I'm not letting somebody throw a ball at someone holding one of my mics.
Fine.
But we could put it on Periscope.
Okay.
Okay, that's what we'll do. Everybody text.
Yeah, if we get 100, I think we should have a number. Like, if we get 100 likes of something, then
everybody
we'll throw
tweet
balls
who they
at
want us to throw balls at their nuts next week.
Or a poll. Whoever gets the most votes, like two polls, who throws and who gets the target.
You know, this is the perfect time for the Kick Joe hashtag because it's not going to be thrown. People will want you kicked in the nuts.
So it's basically going to be like, who do they think has a better arm, me or Pat?
Well,
and I'm here
the
to say
arm.
It's definitely
That's the
Pat.
Problem. I'm the one most wanting to be the target, but I'm also the best thrower.
Pat's the best thrower.
I'm the best thrower.
Pat's the best thrower.
I'm the best thrower.
You throw like a woman.
I led the undefeated. I was a quarterback
not
of
that
the
that's a,
6-0
excuse me, you throw like a weak man.
League. No way,
I didn't
man.
Mean woman. You throw like a weak man.
I throw great. I
mean, some women are very strong.
Let's and do this.
I'll connect with one lefty throw on you, too.
Oh, all right. I like the lefty
and if,
challenge.
And if Pat hits you, I get to throw the remaining. Once Pat hits you, I get to throw the remaining.
I've seen
balls.
You throw. I'm not worried.
I like this game.
Yeah, I do, too. All okay. Right. All right.
We'll work on the
follow
details.
Follow us on Twitter at Big Red Cobcast. We're on Facebook.com/Cobcast, Patreon.com/Big Red Cobcast. You're already listening to this, but if you have someone who wants to listen, by the way, when I was back in Nebraska over the holidays, my old drama teacher found out about the podcast, and now he's telling everybody
that
he knows.
That's excellent.
Is he listening to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's enjoying it. I was like
drama teacher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he's been going to Husker games for years.
No. I mean, I know plenty of drama teachers. My drama teacher, in high school, also is a Husker fan.
I mean, technically not a teacher because we didn't have drama classes, but he directed all the plays.
It's weird to hear it called drama class, what I was commenting on.
He directed all our plays.
No shit.
With you guys, drama queens, kings, whatever you are, dramas, drama-rommers.
I'm a big fan of drama. So good on you.
Yeah, Mr. Falter and all of his friends in Lincoln.
I bet he knows my drama teacher.
Yeah?
Mr. Heineman. John Heineman.
Okay. I thought you were going to say former governor Dave Heineman was your old drama teacher.
No, but that was his brother.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes.
You seem less than certain about that.
No, I'm positive it was.
Anyway, if you know someone else who wants to listen,
tell them about us via
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or just on acast.com and search Big Red Cobcast. Tons of ways to listen. It's on our social media every week, too. There we go, guys.
Better rides the bus.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.